Have you ever had a close friend? Someone that you could talk to and tell just about anything you want to tell them, or maybe some feedback on what maybe they have gone through life with? If you haven't, have you ever tried to get one? In other words, try to develop one. And in some cases, only to find out they didn't like you. That's happened. That's happened with some, and it's interesting, depending on how personalities work back and forth too as well. And so we have to understand what a friend is and what a friend does. So what about having several friends? Have you ever thought about, in the future, we're going to have as many as, and probably a whole lot more, as many as 144,000 friends that we think alike, we worship the same God, we glorify the same God in Jesus Christ who's at his right hand? Think about that as we go along in this sermon, because a lot of people don't know how to gain a friend. And I will have to say that during my whole life, I had some friends along the way, but it was hard for me even to try to get a friend, because I always thought I had work to do. If you got a friend, you're not working. You're just visiting with a friend. And of course, my dad and I were together quite a bit, and so he was my friend too. So I guess I did have a friend from the very beginning, because my dad was my friend too, who would give me certain things along the way to look at. So fellowship and friendliness is needed and is necessary for entering God's kingdom, because we're all going to be together. We're all going to be part of the same family. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about, do you have a best friend? And I thought, well, shouldn't all friends be best? I don't know. A best friend would be somebody that you could spend a lot more time with and be more confidential with, etc. Someone you really trust as well. But I think I'd like to think that we could do that with everyone if we spent enough time with them, spend enough time and got to know each other too as well. I should say, do you have a best friend, or do you have best friends? Several friends that you call your best friends. And, of course, I put down here, God should be your best friend. Jesus Christ should be your best friend. In other words, a walking and talking relationship should be with them. And Jesus showed that example. Let's go back to James, the second chapter. I want to mention something here. James, the second chapter, and beginning in verse 23, James 2, and beginning in verse 23, and it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I thought about that as I was reading through that, and even reading the things back in Genesis about it too as well. And I thought, isn't that amazing? The highest of all, God, Jesus was God, who came down to walk and talk with Abraham. Can you imagine that? And how would you feel if Jesus decided to come down and talk with you or with me? How would we feel about that? I'm sure it would be awesome, and it would be fearful too as well, because we would say it's a fearful thing to fall into the living hands of God. So we would have a lot of ideas, I'm sure, with that. But on the other hand, when we pray and when we talk with God and through Jesus Christ's name as we do that, how do we feel? How do we feel with the one that we're talking with? And could we claim that close relationship with God? And if we don't, maybe we should fast and pray about it and ask God to help us to do that, to have that kind of a relationship. Now, I realize when you can't see somebody, it's kind of hard to understand a little bit about it. But we've seen the example of what God has done in our lives. We've seen the example of miracles and other type things that's happened along the way. And so we know who brought that about. And it was our Father. And he's the one that takes care of us with that. So James is a good book to read concerning that too as well. Of walking and talking and communicating with and understanding what God wants us to do and what he wants us to be like in our lives. So our example should be out too, that anybody we come in contact with, whether in the world at this present time, because we realize in the future we're going to find people that will come along and will become part of the very family of God. But look at them as a future close friend, someone that you can talk to and maybe inspire and even strengthen by the words that you use in the right way. So many times I know in my life it's happened too as well. You can actually get into a debate or a big argument over religion. And I've striven along the way to be friendly with it and to use terms that might be helpful to the other people without causing a big ruse over it. Like, for instance, I remember one time on the ship, I may have mentioned this before, but on the ship we had several guys who were constantly using God's name in vain. It's constantly, you know, cursing and using those names. And I said, how can I deal with them? How can I realize that I could maybe help them with what they're doing and maybe get them to stop that? And so I walked up to them and I said, I noticed when you were talking that you have a very small vocabulary. And they looked at me. It's a wonder that, you know, the attention was still there, but I guess they were wondering, well, what in the world am I talking about as far as you have a very small vocabulary? And I said, you only know two or three words. That's all I hear from you all the time is one or two or three words. Well, that was cursing. And I could have said you were using God's name in vain, but that could be offensive to people in the sense of they stand up and say, well, I'm just as good as you are or whatever. I just said you had a poor vocabulary, but you need to work on, you know, using a whole lot more words than just one or two or three. And hopefully they got the point. I think they did, but they weren't as mad as I thought they were going to be anyway with that, because I wanted to be friendly and wanted to help them in a friendly way too as well. And that's what we've got to be thinking about too as well. If you go back to Psalm, the 133rd chapter now. Psalm 133. Notice what God says, inspired David actually to write this too as well. And David had a very close relationship with God and Jesus Christ. He says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Unity of friendship and understanding. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. And the dew of Hermon, as it is the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. True friend, giving us understanding concerning life forevermore. So can you imagine eating and sharing and working with God the Father through Jesus Christ all eternity, for all eternity? It's going to be a time when there's not going to be any bad things in and around us. We must recognize that and see that God has a lot yet for us to see and a lot yet for us to understand and to learn. And friendship is what we need with that. Proverbs, the 18th chapter. Proverbs, the 18th chapter. And beginning in verse 24. It says, a man that has friends must do what? Must show himself friendly. So now it's giving us a little bit of instruction of what we can do to gain that future friendship with others, is to be friendly. And I even put down in my mind too as well, are we friendly with God? When we approach God, are we friendly with Him, or are we always, in one sense, demanding of Him for Him to do something for us? Do we have a friendly conversation, a friendly get-together with our Father, and even talk about it, even sometimes go back and read some of the scriptures that would refer to all of this, of all the things that are happening at that level and at the time of the Father and Jesus Christ working together. I really thought about that even when they were creating human beings and creating Adam and Eve. And you ask, they must have had a couple of things they could smile about or they could laugh about a little bit in dealing with human beings. But they did give us also the Spirit in man, which helps us to think and which helps us to have the mind to be able to communicate and to glorify God's name. And then He's given us the apex of it all, and that's the Holy Spirit, which gives us the exactness of His mind to be in us. And so God our Father and Jesus Christ used that mind. And we use that same mind because that mind came from God. The Holy Spirit came from the Father through Jesus Christ to us to give us the difference between just having a physical mind thinking of physical things, which also does have love involved with it too, and affection and friendship, because like, for instance, in the world today, if you look around you, you'll find that there are some families who are full of laughter, full of funship, always treating each other that way and having fun and actually, in a sense, glorifying God, because the spirit man also does that as far as having friends. But the point of it is with that is that the human mind also, too, can take on the evil of the world. That's the difference, and the Holy Spirit pushes it off and gets rid of the evil that sometimes comes. So a man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Closer than a brother, and we've got to understand that we've got to work toward that. So Proverbs 17 and verse 17, Proverbs 17 and verse 17, notice this, a friend loves at all times. A friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. Or we're going to find that it takes power and strength to be able to keep one's mind straight and one's mind going continuously in the right direction as far as fellowship is concerned. Let's go back now to John, the 15th chapter. Book of John, the 15th chapter, and we find it in Jesus walking along and talking with His apostles and others in that period of time. We find that it's something that we need to learn. John 15 and beginning in verse 12, notice what it says, John 15. In verse 12, it says, this is my commandment. This is my instruction. This is what I am inspired to let you know, that you love one another as I loved you. Now, that brought a lot to my mind when I read that, because just as God loves us, now how do we have that kind of a love? We stay close to our Father and follow His example and Jesus' example of what they did for all of us, and then we can understand more what love is all about. So it does take a lot of reading and studying on that to come closer to our Father through Jesus Christ, that we can come to this. In verse 12 it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So look around and see what God has done for us and continue to strive to do the same. And then verse 13, it says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And it's interesting that in this world system, laying your life down for a friend versus maybe your brother, your mother, your family, etc., might in your mind be a little different. But it says here that it tells us that we ought to do that, lay our life down for our friends. And I've seen in this world system where people have done that with almost without thinking, it seems. Like for instance, one time they had a fire there in Chicago, and they were concerned because there was a mother with a little baby on the top floor of where that fire was going on. And this one fireman, he ran all the way up there, endangered his life, and was actually burned a little bit doing it, but he got them out and put them down below. So he gave his life for his friends, for the two that were about ready to go. So it's interesting what you can think about when you think about friendliness and fellowship and learning to be like God says to do and being a friend. You do what I command you. And notice the difference there. You are my friends if you do whatever I instruct you to do. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. Now that's true friendship there. Jesus Christ learned that from his Father, and what he learned from his Father, I have made known to you. We become his friends. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. So in some cases, I suppose, dealing with other people in and around us, we choose to be friendly to them before they're friendly to us. And it's the same with God and Jesus Christ and us. I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you shall ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So it's interesting, the friendship and what we can do with that friendship. So if we have great happiness if we lay down our lives for the brethren, for one another, for those who are around us. Luke 22 now. Luke 22, going back to Luke 22. And in verse 32, Luke 22 and verse 32. Notice what it says. I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. That's the love that we have and the consideration and friendliness that we have, that we're willing to pray, you know, for our brother. Sometimes it's hard, I find, in the life even of the ministry. You find that there's a lot of people that you can be praying for. And over a period of 60-some-odd years, you ask yourself, can I remember all the ones that were my friends way back then, and am I still praying for them? If they're still alive, of course. We realize that many of them, of course, have perished along the way. But what's our mind like in developing that friendship and remembrance also, too, as well? And I find that fellowship is one of the keys, too, as well, to bring that about, to bring the friendliness and the attitude and the mind of our brethren. Let's go to Acts, the 20th chapter now. Acts, the 20th chapter, and verse 35. Acts 20, verse 35. Jesus said, I have showed you all things, and how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, and how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So the friendship comes along with that. And as Proverbs 27 says as well, iron sharpens iron. Even spiritually speaking, iron sharpens iron. I used to wonder about that until I got into some of the responsibilities of making things out of iron. And in some cases, you find some iron that's mixed with other metals and so on, it seems like it's even hard to sharpen them. But where there's a will, there's a way, and you can sharpen them and have a very sharp edge for it. So that's the key to continue on to serve God, is to develop friendliness and being friends with other people around. Even though sometimes it might be hard. It'd be hard for you to walk up to and say, may I help you with that? Or I notice, it might be a little difficult what you're doing. I don't want you to hurt yourself. Can I help you with that? That's being friendly, wanting to help somebody else. Iron sharpening iron. And Proverbs 13 and verse 20 talks about fellowship with those who have wisdom. I thought about that whenever I thought about people who were condemning even some of the political figures that we have now running for the presidents in the United States. How do we listen to and gain from some of the wisdom, even at the physical level? I remember one person said one time that one of the ones who's running for the presidency had business experience, and they wanted to learn from that business part of his mind, and were able to actually just listen and gain from how he said certain things. It's amazing how you can say certain things and even claim that this person's not very nice, is he? And then you listen again to what was said, and you said, you're thinking in your mind, well, he could probably become the President of the United States in the future because of how he's thinking and what's going to be the results of what he's saying, not what you might imagine. So he had technically the knowledge to build huge buildings, to build huge cities and so on. So wouldn't you like to have that and glean that from him? That'd be a nice friendship, wouldn't it? What if he called you tomorrow and said, I'd like to show you a couple of things and develop a friendship? It can be done. It can be done because of the attitude in the mind. And you ask yourself, would you do the same thing? Would you do the same thing? Just because someone says something very strongly, does it make it right or wrong? Or what are you learning from what's being said? So you can develop a friendship with that too as well, learning what's being said. And that's our responsibility in the future too as well. Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 63. Psalm 119, verse 63. It's one of the chapters in the Bible that we spend a lot of time in the Church of God. Psalm 119 and verse 63. It says, I am a companion of all them that fear you. I'm friends with all of those who fear God and of them that keep your precepts. You know, that's part of it. We learn to develop that friendship because we all gather together for the presence of God and Jesus Christ, and we learn to work with one another with that same kind of friendship. And the earth is all full of your mercy, so teach me your statutes. So one of those things that God did was to be friends, as I've always written, mentioned in some of the scriptures. And verse 97, oh, how love I your law, it is my meditation all the day. So do we think about friendship and iron sharpening iron and wisdom from those in the world even who have wisdom that we could use? And can we honor talents, abilities, associating with those who obey God, especially here in Psalm 119 and verse 63. So it says Amos 3 and verse 3. I thought this is the one that Amos 3 and verse 3 that I want to think more about myself even too as well. Amos 3 and verse, I'll start with verse 1. It says, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known. You only have I known. And of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities." And then he says in verse 3, he says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" So one of the things that helps us to have that fellowship and friendliness and working with one another is the fact that we all agree. That gives us an extra edge to honor God, to serve Him collectively, together. And we certainly do. I haven't seen the time that's gone by here for this whole congregation that we stand around and talk and fellowship and enjoy each other for sometimes up to 3 hours and sometimes 4 hours, depending on whether or not we get tired or not, I suppose, too, as well. So to me, that's one of the most happiest times of my life is Sabbath services, when we can sit around and talk and fellowship and be friendly with one another, fellowship and friendliness. And that's what life is all about. In Malachi 3 in verse 16 now. Malachi 3 and verse 16. And of course this whole chapter has to do with what God is working with and what God is developing. And notice what it says. Malachi 3 verse 16. "Then they that feared the Lord spoke often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels." A beautiful, friendly relationship. "And I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. And then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not." So do we serve God through friendship and friendship with others, even around us? In other words, we're becoming more and more and trying to have the togetherness that God has and the friendship that God has too as well. Luke 24. Luke the 24th chapter, and beginning in verse 13, Luke 24, and beginning in verse 13, it says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things that had happened." All these things that have happened. "Came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." The fellowship, friendliness, walking and talking, but their eyes were not holden that they should know him. And he said to them, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" And of course, they went on to talk about what had happened. But the point was that Jesus walked and talked with them and conversed with them with God's word. And we should be the same in all that we do. Even our fellowship and our friendliness should actually include all of that. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you." When you get divisions, it turns out not to be too friendly. And we've seen that even with discussing the words of God. Divisions among you, but you are perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So do we strive to do that which is going to actually build the kind of fellowship that we should have with one another? So fellowship will help produce the same mind. The same mind, and that's what the scripture is all about, is to get us to follow what our Father and Jesus Christ have given to us. So Galatians 6. Galatians, the sixth chapter, we find that Jesus Christ would inspire and help us to see what is best for us to do. Galatians 6, and beginning in verse 2, notice what it says. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you're overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted, and bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So it's part of our life, it's part of our very being, is to do those things and have the feelings for others and our concern for others too. And verse 19, notice what it goes on to say. It says, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And he goes through and mentions all the things about adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, and variance, and emulations, wrath, strife, and seditions and heresies, envyings and murderings, drunkenness, revelings. That's not friendly. That's against God's law, all of that. That's not being friends with those around us. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faithfulness, and meekness, and temperance. Against there is no law, such is no law. So if we walk in the Spirit, notice in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, but serve one another through fellowshipping and friendliness, provoking one another, serving one another in good works, not bad works. So, in verse 1 of chapter 6, I thought was interesting too, because it said, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual. Now, how are you going to restore somebody? You're going to restore somebody by hacking at him, her, you know, very strong with her voice. You shouldn't have done that! Or will we use friendliness to show, well, now, if you've done this and done that and so on, you'll be blessed. God will bless you, will help you with this. How do we do things? Restore one another, it says, those who are spiritual. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Do it in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. That's fellowshipping, working with, honoring, and trying to be strength for your brother. Or others around you too as well. I think all of us have helped people that are in the world around us by strengthening them with your feelings and with your understanding of what God's word is without being, as the world would term it, a preacher, meaning trying to make people do things. You can't make people do things. You inspire people to do things. You instruct them and inspire them and help them. Because we have our love and strength for him. Let's go to 1 John 4. 1 John, the fourth chapter. And let's see what the Apostle John had to say. 1 John 4. And beginning here, excuse me, beginning here in verse 11, it says, "Beloved, if God so loved us," now this is one of the conditions of friendship, fellowship, working with that, and understanding what God wants us to do first, and then on others, in other words, using what we know with others as we work with them. "If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Fellowship and friendliness comes from loving one another. "And no man has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God dwells in us." So now we're going to know then the fruits and so on of God in us. God dwells in us, and he loves us, and his love is perfected in us. "So hereby know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." That's how much he loves us. He wants to fellowship with us. And we're going to all be brought to him to have that fellowship. In the world system, you find that God is totally away from everybody. He's somewhere, and how are you ever going to get to be in his presence? He's going to bring us into his presence because he wants to fellowship with all of us. And so it goes here, "If we have known and believed that the love that God has to us, God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him." A close relationship and fellowship. "So herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." You know, one of the things I saw with those who wanted to be friendly, but they were afraid to be friendly. They didn't know how to be friendly. So maybe we ought to think a little more about reading the scriptures on how to be friendly and how to serve God. And it's always through his truth and through him working in and through us and us praying that he is in us as we do it. So the conclusion of all of it is, let's develop friends now. Let's develop friends now. For the world tomorrow, God first, let us go to the feast. We're going to be meeting a lot of people at the Feast of Tabernacles, and maybe even some that we don't even know. Can we walk up and get to know people? Can we be friends with those who also have God's Holy Spirit? For those who are there to keep the feast, and even those who don't have God's Holy Spirit but want to have God's Holy Spirit, can we be a good example and show them how to have the friendship that the Father and Jesus Christ have and has been given to us through Jesus Christ? So let's develop it now, and let's continue to expand it as we go forward in this life.